While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today, for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And now, from 16th Pole Racing, it's Finding Value with Mike Lidner, Tracy White, Scott Blair, and analytics from Jeff Fairman.
Good luck had you strung me to the racetrack, I did go. She bet on one horse to win, and I bet on another to show. Odds were in my favor, I had them fight.
Hello, everyone, wherever you may be. I'm Scott Blair, and this is a reunion tour for me. Back a few years ago, I used to do a podcast with a guy named Lane Whitman. It was called I've Got the Horse Right Here. Took a year or two off. It was just because of responsibilities that I had, was not able to do it. But been bumping into him at Oaklawn and have asked him if he would like to get back together and do something for the Kentucky Derby, and he agreed, and so here we are. So I've got Lane Whitman with me tonight. Lane, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. We got the band back together.
Yeah, so great. Okay, so what we're going to do in this is, and I'll let Lane kind of handle it, but I don't really think you're going to get a lot of plays necessarily. You're not going to get a lot of tickets that are constructed here tonight. You're going to get some opinion on his top six horses, and then you'll be able to go to his social media and his other outlets if you want to get his complete picks for the Derby and the rest of the Derby weekend. So anyway, so without any further ado, let's get started. And the first horse that we're going to talk about, Lang has chosen a horse that is obviously turf bred and has never ran on dirt. And so Lang is going to start with Endlessly. Lang, take it away.
Yeah, horse number 14, Endlessly, only ran on turf and synthetics, as you mentioned, it bred for turf. But here's a horse that has six races in his career and five wins. And what I like to see on the comments is ran away, strong rally, tipped out, much the best, get clear, burst between. Those are the comments on his five wins. I know he's been working at Churchill since early April. He's had four works there on the 6th, 13th, 20th, and 26th. The one on the 26th really kind of caught my eyes, a 47 and four furlong work, 19th out of 68. The work before that, 20th out of 71. I mean, it looks like to me that he likes the dirt fine. I think back to Animal Kingdom a few years ago. Maybe it's 10 years ago now. I don't remember how long.
It's been a while.
but still, yeah, I'm not saying Endlessly is Animal Kingdom. I'm thinking that this route could happen. It's 30 to 1 for a reason. I don't think he's ready to run fast enough yet. to possibly win the race? Would it shock me if he ended up in the tri or the super? No, not really. Here's a horse that, like I said, it finishes up strong every race. And I think that's something that intrigues me a bit, especially at 30-1.
Okay. What you've pointed out is you just love the way he runs, is how competitive he is. He's a banger. He's a grinder. He works hard, right? And has a lot at the end of the race.
Has a lot at the end of the race and has won by open lengths, two or more lengths in four of his five wins. So, he's not just sneaking by on some of these races. He's opening up, even though he's not doing it in the speed figs, has top numbers. But, I mean, who knows? Give him a shot here on dirt. I know trainer Michael McCarthy was said after his Ruby Stakes race that he thought he was just going to go in a turf race here on Derby Day, but they've made a change here, and they're running in the Kentucky Derby, and they're going to take a shot. And at those morning line odds, I think it's worth a look to at least put it in your exotics.
Okay, let me ask you this: since we're talking about a horse that is a closer, what do you think about the overall pace of this race?
I think, the more I looked at that just in the last couple of days, I think, fierceness is obviously the one everybody's looking at. That one horse, Dornoch, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Dornoch. That one is going to play a major part in this, as is Track Phantom. Track Phantom has always been on the lead in every single race he's run. And now they weren't the fastest times, but now we're adding blinkers here on Track Phantom as well. And maybe between Dornoch, Track Phantom, Fierceness, maybe we can see a faster pace than normal. And if so, some of these mid-pack or late runners, I believe, are going to have an advantage.
Okay. Yeah, and who I have as the front runners are Dornoch and Track Phantom. I definitely think they're the two. And then the next two would have been Fairness and then the horse that scratched Encino, and with him out. So I just think it's limited pace, but you just never know in the Derby. There's horses, because of their post position, their trainers decide to go ahead and send them. But as this one looks on paper, this one looks like it's going to be a little more reasonable pace than we've seen the last couple of years. So, okay. Now we're going to go to his second horse, and that is Honor Marie. Okay, what did you like about Honor Marie?
Well, here's a horse that has ran at Churchill three times. And you have two wins and a second from Honor Marie at Churchill Downs already. The second place finish was on a sloppy track. He's ran five times in his life with two wins and a second. Two wins, two seconds. The two times, one of the seconds, and he ran fifth. Those were on sloppy tracks. So he's only ran on a fast track three times, two wins, and a second by a length. So that's something I like. I like that he kind of runs mid-pack. I think that is going to be an advantage here. We'll talk about it a little bit more when I get to Fierceness in a minute. I don't know much about the trainer, Whit Beckman, or the jockey, Ben Curtis. But here's a horse, another one I think that is trying real hard. Good works here at Churchill. Third out of 36 works at 4 furlongs on April 7th. First out of 11 works at 5 furlongs on April 25th. As I mentioned, two wins already at Churchill. Obviously likes the surface. Just missed by a length in the Louisiana Derby in his last start. Another one, 20-1 on the morning line. I think that's something that that interests me a lot, and it would not surprise me. It might surprise me a little bit if Honor Marie wins. That's not going to surprise me at all if Honor Marie's in the exotics.
Yeah, I had Honor Marie as one of my top five or six that could be used in the exotic bets as well. I don't know that I would use him on a horizontal ticket in a pick three, pick four, something like that, but definitely would have him in underneath in exactas and trifectas, etc. And the things that caught my eye are just some of the things that you said. He's run three times at Churchill. He's been in the exacta every time. And he just seems to be a pretty good competitor. They've got him kind of rated as a closer, and he is one of the ones that they've got a couple horses in here that are rated as closer that I don't really see him as such, but he is. I mean, in the backstretch, he might be 7-8 lengths behind. To let you know, and I didn't realize this till I was doing another podcast earlier this week, Ben Curtis just decided to move from England to the States. He moved his tack to the fairgrounds, and he's been riding. Well, he was a very accomplished rider in England and didn't have really a very bad meet at all at the fairgrounds. So that's where he comes from. So he's accustomed to riding in big races, just not on dirt in America. All right. So now we're going to take a look at another horse that comes off the pace, and that's going to be Chad Brown's Sierra Leone. Okay, Lang, what about him?
Well, I mean, he's a nose away from being 4-for-4, undefeated in his career, and obviously comes from way back out of it. In his initial start, you see he was 5th out of 7 horses down the back stretch. His second start, he was last out of 10. His third start down the back stretch, he was 9th out of 12 horses. His last race in the Bluegrass, he was 9th out of 10 starters down the back stretch and moved up, and has circled the field in nearly every race to get the wins. That's a admirable trait. The horse is always coming. The horse is going to give you everything he's got. I'm a little skeptical that he's going to maybe have to pass 15, 16 horses in this race, being out of the two hole. He's going to have to drop all the way back to the back. And when they come under the finish line for the first time, it's not going to shock me at all if he's 16. And he doesn't pass horses on the inside or get, he comes wide every time. 6 path, 10 path, 7 wide, 5 wide in his 4 starts. And I just don't know. I respect his talent. I think the 20 horse field might be his detriment here. He's going to be coming at the end. Is he going to get, is he going to go wide and pass, 14, 15 horses to get the win? Man, 3-1, I'm not positive that's going to happen. But I respect the talent, and it's one that obviously needs to be used.
Okay. And, that's the thing. He just doesn't seem like he has any urgency coming out of the gate. If you look where he's at on first call and how many horses are in the race, typically only has 1 or 2 beat. And if that's the case – on Saturday, that means he's 18th, right? So, yeah. And where he's positioned, that very well could happen. So, see a lot of work for him to do to get to the front and win this race. But at the same time, this is an impressive horse. It just happens to be the setup here that's going to be, as you said, it could be his detriment. And but if he gets the right trip, he could definitely be a factor and would definitely be somebody that I would want to use in the exotic bets. Okay. Do you have any other comments on him? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that, I think if I would like Sierra Leone a little bit more if he was drawn further outside. The two hole really bothers me for him. And I know that, he's going to drop back anyway, but I would rather him be able to drop back and have Tyler Gaffalione, the jockey, pick a spot instead of, everybody's coming over toward the rail and he doesn't want to be inside horses and he's just going to have to drop back to near last. And man, that's just going to make it tough.
Yeah, I see it exactly the same way. I see him way, way back, but he could still maybe get a chance to be a piece of an exotic ticket. So, he's just got his work cut out from him, from his style of running and where he's starting. Okay, that now takes us to the morning line favorite, Fierceness. Lang, how about him?
Here's one I'm all over the place on. I don't know what to do with Fierceness, and that's weird to say because he's the favorite. But, as we spoke of, the pace a little while ago with Dornock and Track Phantom, if you are correct and those two are fighting for the lead, I mean, here's Fierceness who, if you look at his past performances here, he's passed one horse in a race after the half mile mark in his whole career. I just think he might be fighting John Velasquez to get to the front, because that's where he does his best running. And if he's got, you know, if you've got three horses fighting for the lead, there's a chance that they somebody gets a little bit out of control and makes this pace a little bit faster than what everybody thinks it might be. Well, let me ask you this real quick. 47 seconds, over or under for the half?
Oh, I would think probably right there. If he had, if in other words, if 47-1 is over, I'd go over. So yeah, I think over. Yeah,
that's my number. If it goes under 47, that's where these mid pack and late runners, I believe, are gonna be the ones to be on in this race. And I think that's the way I'm gonna play it. And if I'm wrong, and fierceness, you know, just swallows up everybody like he has in three of his five career starts. Missing out on a 5-2 shot in the Derby's not really going to bother me as much. I can miss out on a 5-2 shot, you know, in the fifth race on Sunday at Oakland.
Well, this is the last thing I'll say about fierceness is that, yeah, he likes to be on the lead, but he's really never been pushed to be there. I mean, I'm a Brisnet user. And in Bris, they'll show you what the speed figures are and how they are and the variant on those for the pace figures. And every one of his races are below par as far as pace. So even though he's in the lead, they're not really going that fast. So I don't think he'll be a factor on the front end, and he's going to have to be content to rate. And I just don't know if that's going to be his undoing or not. So,
yeah, but, I mean, what about that race two back? They went the half in 50 seconds, and he's ahead in front, and he couldn't hold on. That's somewhat concerning. You know, he came back, obviously, in the Florida Derby and blew everybody away, won by 13 lengths. But that race two back in the Holy Bull is just I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, he's a real puzzle. He really is. I wouldn't say he's a wild card. I mean, we all know what he's capable of, but it's a real puzzle how he's going to perform in this setting and with the pace that's going to be out there this time.
I think he is a classic horse. If you like him, you play him to win. If you're iffy or you don't like him, don't play him to run second or third. I think he's all or nothing.
Okay. All right, this is where we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about two more horses, and we will be right back.
Brothers Roofing and Restoration, a licensed and insured local roofing contractor in Arkansas. Since his playing days for the Hogs, Brother Alexander has been on rooftops many years as an adjuster, and in the past decade as a roofing contractor. He knows how to help you through the insurance process while replacing your roof using only the industry's best materials. And being a lifelong Arkansan, he'll be here to stand behind his workmanship and warranty. Call 479-353-3877 to arrange a time for Brother and his team to inspect your roof.
Welcome back to a reunion edition of I've Got the Horse Right Here. And I'm Scott Blair, and I'm with Lane Whitman. And now we're going to look at two more horses for Saturday's Kentucky Derby. And Lane, you have Catching Freedom. Tell us about him.
Yeah, horse number four, Catching Freedom, trained by Brad Cox, ridden by Flavian Pratt. I like the combination there. These two won the Louisiana Derby in the last race. Has a win at Churchill Downs in his maiden race with Florent Giroux riding. Rode a second time at Churchill Downs. Came in fourth, only missed by two lengths. Five career starts, three wins for Catching Freedom. Here's one of these kind of mid-pack runners that I was mentioning before that I like, that I'm going to kind of go with in this race as some of my top plays. 8-1 on the morning line. I like that. I just like a lot of stuff. Only missed by a little over a length and a half to Sierra Leone back in the sloppy track Risen Star Stakes back in February at Fairgrounds. There's just a lot of like for me about Catching Freedom. And I think, you know, Brad Cox, I know he eventually got the win there a couple of years ago in the questionable Derby, but putting his name on a Kentucky Derby trophy is going to happen sooner or later. And sure, Maybe it happens Saturday.
Sure, and you mentioned something there that we haven't talked about at all, and that is track condition. And I'm still, what I'm seeing is I still think it's going to be a an off track. I don't know if it's going to be sloppy, but it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be fast, especially with all the rain they're going to have on Friday and then a possibility of some more on Saturday, even though the chances are much less. Did you take that into account in any of these horses we've discussed so far?
No, I haven't really, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, you know, looking back at Sierra Leone, I mean, there's second by a nose and a win on the sloppy track. So, you know, that still fits sure. the mantra I mean, there. Obviously, Mystic. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is, and just to let everybody know, that's why we're not putting anybody on the spot in these things and asking them to you know, construct a trifecta ticket for us, because it's still going to take a couple more days to see what this track is going to be like when you've got 20 horses before you make your final decisions, right?
Yeah, I totally agree, because if I know it's going to be sloppy, I mean, I'm going to try to work Mystic Dan in my ticket somewhere off that great run at Oakland in the Southwest, winning by 8 lengths in the slop.
Okay. All right. So that leaves us with one more horse, and that is Stronghold. Take it away.
Yeah, and, you know, 20-1 on the morning line. And I've seen some things. I do have the Brisnet numbers in front of me. And his last race, at winning the Santa Anita Derby, I see his E1, E2, LP. I mean, they're just below what the Kentucky Derby guidelines are. Any improvement puts him right there with historical, you know, numbers or figures to run to win the Kentucky Derby. Here's a horse that's obviously very competitive. 6 lifetime starts, never missed the exacta. Winner of the Santa Anita Derby. Beat the big favorite that Baffert had running in that race. But what I really like about this horse, and I watched some of his replays today, and that's replay watching is not something that I do all the time, but what led me to really like Stronghold, his chances in this race, is here's a horse that will fight. Here's a horse that won't give up. Here's a horse that is not scared. I mean, I see he's in traffic at last race, traffic at the quarter pole, bid between horses, game. Before that, between at the half, bid 3 wide, clear. Before that, bid inside, drifted, bumped, come in second, only missed by a half length. This is a horse that runs not on the lead, runs just off the lead. That's where I want to be, because I think the leaders are going to come back to me. And I think Stronghold might get the first run on the leaders if he positions himself well in the top, you know, 4 through 6, and he's tractable. He can go in between horses. He can go inside horses. He's got a lot of things that I think in a race with 20 horses like the Kentucky Derby, you got to have to win it. And I think he might get the first jump on those leaders if they back up like I think they might.
I understand. I've got him picked as one of mine, one of my top tier horses that I'm going to be using in exotics. And I shy away a little bit from these West Coast horses. And it's funny that you mentioned replays. I don't have a lot of time to do that. But on something like the Kentucky Derby, as I'm going through the form, I have marked about 8 or 9 races that I want to go back and watch. And his Santa Anita Derby was one that I have marked. I've yet to do it, but I have marked because I do want to see what went on there. And you're right, his mid-pace figures, his closing numbers are all conducive and lend themselves to a horse that could be made into a Kentucky Derby champion. And so that's why I've got him on my list. All right, so we've gone through 6. Do you have any other comments about those 6 before we wrap up?
No, not really. And, you know, just to be real brief, Endlessly was one, you know, the first one I mentioned. I didn't really know what to do with that one. I feel the same way about Forever Young, the Japanese horse.
Yeah.
Undefeated, and 5 for 5, he's done everything asked of him so far. I know they train a little bit different, and it's a little bit different looking out there on the track, which is over there in Churchill. So I'll be interested to see if I can read and find out some more about him heading into the race. He's also one that maybe works his way onto my ticket somewhere.
Okay. All right. Before we go, I want to thank a few people. I want to thank, well, first of all, I want to thank Lang for joining me again. It's been a couple years, and I'm glad to have him back. And we're going to probably hear from him again throughout the summer. So thank you, Lang. I also want to thank all the guys at ESPN Arkansas, Tommy Kraft, Derek Ruskin, Ty Richardson, for helping us with this. Derek is the one that puts these things together for us, puts all the fancy music and everything, so we appreciate him. We also appreciate our sponsor, Brothers Roofing. They're a residential roofing specialist here in Arkansas, and we appreciate them. So, but before we go, I'm going to let Lang tell you, because as we've said more than once here, not constructing any tickets, Lang will have some by Saturday morning. And Lang, why don't you tell them where they're going to be able to find your Kentucky Derby plays and other picks throughout the weekend at Churchill Downs. Tell them how you find them.
Yeah, you can look on Facebook or X at the Railbird 333. I'm on both those platforms. Send me a DM. And I'll get you the information to get my picks for Churchill or Oaklawn this weekend, or go to our website, birddogracing.com, and the picks will be there to purchase. And I'll get them sent to you, whether it's email, text, or however, and we'll be ready to roll this weekend.
All right. Well, thanks again, Lang, and good luck to everybody out there. We hope you enjoy it. It should be a very interesting weekend. And whether it be on Friday or Saturday, it should be a lot of fun. So thank you, everyone. Until next time, this is Scott with Lang Whitman. We'll see you later.
Until next time, this has been 16th Pole Racing's Finding Value.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because,
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.